You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It is 2017, and that has to be very exciting news for Giants fans who go into every baseball season knowing that they have a chance to win a World Series. Let's talk to Chris Haft about that. I am Allison Footer. Chris, it's always just a fun time when baseball season starts at that beautiful ballpark in San Francisco. But there's still some questions that have to be answered. And so I was reading some of your coverage, and one of the questions, I guess, is should the Giants add a reliever? They have some young guys, but they had this problem last year, and they got Mark Melanson, but do they need someone leading up to him? So where are they on that?
They can take their time, I think, Allison, because it's a buyer's market out there right now for free agents in general, and I think relievers in particular. Those spots aren't really probably going to get filled up, whether it's the Giants or any other team, until right before spring training begins, you know, with a trade or, in most cases, I think, a free agent signing. So, but yes, I think the Giants do need a little more depth there, even if it's just to, you know, to add to competition during the Cactus League and spring training. So we may see something here sometime in the next few weeks over, you know, about having bring aboard a right-hander.
Yeah, you can never have too many arms. Certainly going into spring training, there seems like there's if a team has an abundance of guys going for a few jobs, and that's a good thing, sort of. And in another way, it's, well, they don't have any real concrete answers, and that might not bode well for the long haul of a six-month season. But also, it's going to be an interesting spring training just because there's going to be a lot of players from a lot of teams all throughout the camps who are going to leave to go compete in the World Baseball Classic. And I thought this was an interesting take that you had, just kind of speculating or wondering if playing in the World Baseball Classic is a risk. I always thought it was a risk for pitchers. Just because it's the time of year it is, you know, spring training is such that players are shaking off the rust, getting their arms back in shape, and the competition is quite heated during the WBC. So, but position players, is it a risk for them? Do you think that they could maybe go too hard, not really meaning to, but just because that's really the only gear they have? Is that a risk, do you think?
Yes, I definitely do, Allison. The Giants had a pretty big representation at the WBC 3 years ago. I forget exactly how many, but I think it was 7 or 8 players. And a couple of them developed some problems that maybe didn't show up right away, health problems that really didn't show up right away, but plagued them in the long run. And the club, of course, club officials didn't want to criticize the WBC or anything, because you know it's a baseball wide initiative and everybody's meant to contribute, so to speak, to it, you know, in terms of letting players participate. And I think people in the major leagues do respect the desire of players to participate and represent their respective countries. That being said, the injury here and injury there can really derail a club, you know, when it's going for a division title or whatever. And let's see, 2013, that Giants finished out was their last sub-500 season since 2009. So I don't know if there's any correlation, but I know they're going to be holding their breath this March when Buster Posey and Brandon Crawford and Johnny Cueto, well, I know those three are for sure, compete for their respective countries. And I think we might have talked before, I forget, but those are three guys who keep themselves in excellent shape pretty much throughout the year. So maybe the Giants don't have to worry, but, you know, on the other hand, baseball players are creatures of habit, so it'll be a change in habit for the three of them. And once again, the Giants hope that that doesn't lead to some sort of ache or pain.
Yeah, and we've talked about it before, but I would think that position players would just be giddy to get out of the mundane, really kind of boring routine that is spring training. Everyone's very excited to get there, and then by about week two, you start looking at the calendar, waiting to see when you get to get out of there and go play some games. And you did make a really good point. You said, like, don't let Johnny Cueto's, heft, I guess is a word, be deceiving, because he – really takes care of himself just as well as anybody else. He just happens to be a little bit of a bigger guy, but it doesn't mean he's out of shape.
Oh, correct. He, you know, rides bikes. He runs up Camelback Mountain in spring training, you know, which is a challenge for anybody. Rides his bike up there, runs stadium steps all the time during the season. There are some cases where body type can be deceiving, and his is one of them.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on to a totally different topic, this Hall of Fame thing. You and I can both appreciate what Jeff Kent was as a player, considering that he played extensively for the Giants and for the Astros. And I'm shocked because he's polling at about 16%. I haven't checked the numbers recently in the last day or two, but last year he got 16.6% of the vote. So he's not only is he not getting any traction, he's dangerously close to falling off of the ballot. And I don't know. To me, he's one of the best offensive second basemen ever. And I know that there's some knocks against him that are kind of used as criteria, not great defensively. But does it surprise you that he's not getting more respect when it comes to Hall of Fame voting? I'm shocked.
Yeah, I share your feeling. It does shock me. I mean, he is the all-time leading second baseman, you know, home run hitter among second basemen. That ought to count for something. People can say, well, he benefited from, you know, batting ahead of or behind Barry Bonds. Well, maybe he did. But when he left the Giants, he sure had some pretty big years, too. He was an effective offensive player right up until almost the very end. You know, you could always count him for a good at-bat. Again, look at those numbers, you know, before, during, and after. Well, no, not before Bonds, but during, you know, his time with Barry. But after, you know, again, they compare favorably. His numbers do. And defensively, he wasn't a butcher. He wasn't Roberto Alomar. But then again, who is? I've talked extensively to Rich Aurelio, who played shortstop next to him. And Rich said, you know, that Jeff was, you know, a fine guy to team up with on double plays and stuff like that. And he made, you know, most of the routine plays, which is really what you want from any infielder. Attitude-wise, some people have, you know, found him to be kind of maybe a bit flinty, I guess you would say. But as Rich and J.T. Snow told me, it's funny, I interviewed them on separate occasions, and they both said the same exact thing, almost word for word. At 7:05, 7:15, or whatever, he was the best teammate you could want. If that, along with all the stats, don't say, you know, Hall of Famer, I don't know what is.
Yeah, I have to agree with that 100%. I think that he only played for the Astros for 2 years, but he wasn't buddies with really anybody. Kept to himself a lot, but they said, but if you asked anybody right now, like, who would you want to have on your team trying to win a World Series, they would say Jeff Kent. Yeah, I kind of take exception a little bit with some of the reports that speculate that possibly because of his, you know, not wonderful relationship with the media, that maybe that is hurting him now. I find that ridiculous. If that is influencing a voter at all, they shouldn't be voting. Eddie Murray is a prime example of somebody who was really kind of reviled by the media and was a first ballot Hall of Famer. And I'm not saying that Jeff Kent should be a first ballot, but I mean, there's so many layers to him. And just from a competitive standpoint and from a production standpoint, and the other thing I have to say, and I know I'm going off on a tangent, but this Gold Glove thing. Well, he's never won a Gold Glove. And after I have seen kind of like on the inside sort of how this Gold Glove voting goes, and there are, and by the way, it is a, if I'm not mistaken, the managers and coaches vote for Gold Gloves, which I think is a mistake. But I've seen, you know, like coaching staff that pay no attention to stuff and just haphazardly fill out these ballots. I've seen managers and coaches that have, like, taken it very seriously and really put in a lot of thought. But it bothers me that when it comes time for Hall of Fame voting, that these are kind of the things that come up as knocks against guys, when I think the voting process could be improved a little bit if it means that much all these years later. Does that make any sense?
Makes plenty of sense, Allison. I mean, his is the case. I'm almost sure he's not going to get elected to the Hall of Fame before his eligibility runs out. So, which means 10-20 years from now or whatever, you know, we'll see his name come up in the Today's Era balloting. And he probably won't get in there either. I mean, look at this. Look at this. They had some pretty high-caliber guys this past winter, last month, December. It was December. And, you know, come up for eligibility in the Today's Era committee, formerly known as the Veterans Committee. And none of those guys made it in. I don't know if Jeff Kent will ever make it in. And it's for guys of his caliber, because there are others like him, it's kind of a shame.
Yeah, it is, especially in the era that he played in. And I'm pretty convinced that he was a clean player, which just, I don't know, the whole thing is a little bit bothersome. But, okay, we'll move on to a happier note. So now we're going to put you on the spot, and you're going to make a bold prediction going into spring training. So this prediction will be something that might not sit well with fans, and other fans might wholeheartedly agree. So you're kind of putting yourself out there on a ledge. But what is your bold prediction going into spring training?
Well, my bold prediction is something I think fans will like. I just don't know if they'll all agree it's going to happen. And frankly, I don't know if it's going to happen, but that's why it's a bold prediction, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I do think they'll get a not a big bat, but a proven bat, a guy who can be a regular either in left field or at third base. These guys, you know, they smell a potential World Series appearance. You know, certainly a postseason appearance. And with all due respect to Jared Parker and Mack Williamson, the left field candidates, I don't know if they want to go with them in left field. I'm not sure if they're sold on the Eduardo Nunez, Connor Gillespie combination at third base. So I can see them trading for like a Todd Frazier. I can see them maybe looking at in free agency at Luis Valbuena or Trevor Plouffe. Or maybe trading, trading for or signing some sort of left fielder. So maybe signing a Michael Saunders and moving him to left, because I think he played primarily right for Toronto, but he could handle left field at AT&T Park. It's easiest of the three outfield positions to play there. So even though they're saying right now that they don't have enough money, they're up against the competitive balance tax limit. I think the head, not cooler heads will prevail, but the people that want to see the people in the organization who want to see the team back in postseason prominence. And that's everybody who works in the front office there. I think they'll prevail, and something will get done.
Okay, good stuff. That would be very exciting for fans if that happens. So thank you so much, Chris. Appreciate it. Talk to you next time.
Thank you, Allison.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.